The key issue facing financial markets globally, we would consider to be the outlook for inflation. Clearly, that outlook has changed quite a bit and worsened quite a bit over the last couple of months with new data coming out, as well as some of the soft commodities and even some of the other commodities prices running up quite hard. We have consistently been holding the view that global inflation is not dead and buried, despite the fact that capacity utilization is relatively low, and that over time, reserve banks around the world and governors around the world will do their best to try and reinflate the global economy out of the mess that it found itself in after the credit crunch. That seems to be playing out now, partly for the reasons we've foreseen, and then partly also for other reasons like, as I've referred to, the soft commodity price increases and so on as well. But it has got profound implications for the way we view global government bonds, as well as our view on monetary policy. Our view is that despite the fact that inflationary outlook is relatively negative over the next couple of months, with more negative data points to be printed as we go along, we do not see interest rates, global interest rates, increasing significantly, purely because the fragility of the economic recovery is such that it doesn't warrant very strong, heavy-handed tactics. And we've seen that situation playing out in the UK already, where despite the current retail inflation printing above 4%, we've not seen increases in interest rates. And in fact, the Monetary Policy Committee is pretty clear in its outlook that it would try and withstand the pressures in order to give the recovery, economic recovery, more chance to play out. So we could have a situation here where, despite increasing inflation, you do not see rates increasing that much. That should continue to be good for global equities. And global equities certainly is our preferred asset class. Within equities, we prefer the developed market equities. We found quite a bit of value in the very dull and boring stocks with some exposure to the growth markets in Asia and growth markets in Latin America, but trading at very low historic multiples. Stocks like Procter & Gamble, Unilever, Nestle, and Heineken. These are stocks that generally, in particular, if you take into account very strong balance sheets as well, are trading on PE multiples of around 12, 13, 14 times, and yet it's offering you a very decent growth outlook, primarily because of the fact that they've got exposure to the growth markets in the emerging economies. So whilst we definitely concur with a widely held view that emerging economies will continue to outperform the developed world, we see more value in developed world equities than in emerging market equities. That valuation gap historically has been quite wide, has narrowed significantly. And prior to the events of the last couple of days in Japan, those multiples were almost at equal levels. In our opinion, emerging market equities, despite the better growth prospects, do come with more risk, more volatility, more policy uncertainty, and therefore they should be trading at slight discounts to the developed markets, and hence our preference for developed market equities over emerging equities. With regards to government bonds, we continue to be very nervous of both the inflationary outlook, as already covered, but also as a result of very heavy funding requirements that will continue into the foreseeable future by governments. We have already seen big pressure. We've already seen some of those markets collapsing completely. We do not foresee a lot more of those dominoes falling over, but we certainly think the funding pressures will continue to put pressure on long-term rates, and we would therefore avoid government bonds. And another reason why global equities really would be the preferred asset class.